Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it is my pleasure to be with you. My co-host is Veronica McMillan of the Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated, and we are always so excited that you were able to join us tonight. If this is your first time tuning into the show, we thank you so very much. If you are a longtime listener, we thank you as well. We could not do this show without you. So Issues Concerning Women comes on every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to bring you tips and different information that you can share with your family and friends. Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, careers, housing, finance, and life skills. The Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated helps small nonprofit organizations become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. We offer advocacy services to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. Our vision is to empower women through hands-on demonstrations, details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise, and nutrition classes, entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy programs. We are dedicated to making a difference. So welcome to the Issues Concerning Women radio talk show. Tonight I want to say to all of the listeners, it is Thursday. It is beautiful in the city of Virginia Beach, Virginia. I don't know where you are, and since we broadcast all over the world, I hope that wherever you are, it is beautiful, that you are safe, and that you are living your best life. Tonight, I want to just welcome you and talk a little bit about a couple of things that we have going on in our community, and I'm going to get to those in a few minutes. But I was thinking earlier today about where we are and where we've been over the past year and some of the things that we have been doing and some of the things that we have accomplished. So do you ever just sit down and think about where you might be in the next 5 years? What would your life look like? What would be one of the reasons why you possibly did not reach some of your goals? So I just want to take a moment and just really talk to you about that and really let's just dive into it and see what we come up with, because I always like to ask questions. I always think it's so important that we think things out, that we think outside of the box, and that we look forward to making better decisions in the years and days and months to come. So where will you be 5 years from today, if you've ever thought about that? And the truth is, none of us really know where we will be 5 years from now, but we oftentimes do want to think about some of the challenges that we live through, some of the things that we have, such as gifts and opportunities and adventures, and but we seldom see or seldom share with other folks. And so I'm going to bring Veronica in and let her say hello to everybody, and then we're going to talk a little bit about where you're going to be in the next 5 years. Hello, Veronica. How are you this evening?
Hey, Francine. How are you this evening?
I am wonderful, my sister. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Great. I was just talking to the audience about, I always like to ask questions, and I was thinking earlier today where I might be in the next 5 years. What is that going to look like? So I thought our question tonight would be just that question. Where will you be 5 years from now? What would you be doing? And what would it take to get you to where you want to be? Now, for me, 5 years from now, I'm really hoping that the gods will shine on me and I can retire. Not sure if that's going to happen. I don't know how much sunshine is going to have to be put on me for me to do that. But it's just a thought that I had today, and so I wanted to ask that question. But I know in order for me to do that, I'm going to have to do certain things like plan it out, make sure that I have enough money that's going to last me from if I retire from retirement until I leave here, and I plan to live to be over 100 years old, maybe 104, 5, or 6, just depending on what my quality of life is. And then I was thinking about some of the things that I want to do in between that time, possibly going to Paris. That's one of the things that I have on my list. And how would I get there? What would I do? So I do have to plan it out, and I do have to make sure that it makes sense for me and my family. I know my husband may not go with me unless there's a slow boat to Paris, so I would have to plan that all out because he doesn't like to fly. But just a thought, you know, just to think of that, because we've been through so much the last year, and we've seen so much devastation and so much heartbreak. It is, I think, a little refreshing just to, you know, like take a deep breath and think about, you know what, I'm okay, and in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, I'm going to be even better. So, Veronica, would you like to share what you might possibly be doing in the next 5 years and how you're going to get there?
I think I can share the same sentiments that you have. I'm preparing for retirement and really wanting to be exiting and doing a succession plan now, you know what I mean, for what that's going to look like. But really it is where I really want to slow things down a whole bunch and be able to enjoy, you know, the fruits of your labor. That's sort of kind of where I'm at, just wanting to be able to put things on coast for a minute, Francine, and be able to just rest for a minute and not, you know, be so consumed with, you know, the grind of getting a business going and keeping it going and things of that nature. So that's sort of kind of where I'm at.
That's great. And we know that everything that we're speaking about is possible, as long as we know what we want and we are determined to set those goals and meet the criteria that's going to take for us to get there. So I think that's really good. And so, Veronica, it is a beautiful evening in Virginia Beach. I know you're over in Chesapeake tonight. And I just want to, you know, lighten it up a little bit, talk about some things that are happening in our world, in the micro nonprofit world. And I would like for you to share some of the things that you have coming up and so that the listening audience will be getting prepared to possibly partner with us or reach out to us if they are interested in anything that we're going to be doing.
Yes, wonderful. Well, the thing that is coming up in June is a sixth conversation. That conversation is with Chesapeake Police. Here in Chesapeake, we're going to be doing a mental health, police and mental health conversation. That's going to be June 18th. And then, of course, we are preparing for our nonprofit banquet that's going to happen in August as well. So we are really looking forward to those things. And then, of course, launching the program that we have for our Kids Law Academy, and that's coming up in August. Well, I skipped over July, though. July, we're doing a program pitch. It's a program pitch for nonprofits to pitch their program, and then we're going to give them $500 toward their program so that they can get that program up and running. So that's kind of where we're going to be. That's what we're going to be doing over the next couple of months or so. So we've got a lot of things going, and of course I'm running 1,000 miles per hour trying to make it happen, Francine, but that's what we're doing for right now.
Okay, absolutely wonderful. And I found this quote: if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. So for anybody listening today that sounds like we're doing a lot, we are, because time waits for no one. It doesn't stand still. You still, even though we want to slow it down a little bit, we know in the process we're going to have to move a little quicker to get some of these things rolling, get them into place, and to implement the program so that we can be, one, financially in the place where we need to be, and two, as we look at the plans and the retirement plans, making sure that we're going to have everything that we need and in place so that the micro nonprofit can keep running after we have hung up our hats. So good job, Veronica. I wanted to share a couple of things that we are doing in the community. everyone knows that the vaccinations are going on. A lot of people have already gotten them, and bravo to everyone who's gotten their one or two shots. We really know that we needed to do this. I know some people still maybe were a little reluctant, but I was reading an article today, Veronica, and it was saying that some people weren't reluctant. They just didn't know where to go. So one of the things that we've been doing is trying to map out where the need is in certain communities. And so we're looking to do some mini clinics and some units that are going to drive, you know, the trucks that go out, the mobile trucks, going out into certain neighborhoods so that people won't have to look for a place to get their vaccination. The place will be there. They just have to, you know, if it's in walking distance, walk there or group together and go and get them. And so we are reaching out to the community. And if you know of an area that is not being serviced, please let us know, because we can't know everything. We know what the city tells us, but it may be a specific area or a specific group of people, like the homebound, who's taking care of them. And so we definitely want to reach out and partner with whatever organizations are out there listening to get these vaccinations done. So once everybody is vaccinated, and I know everybody won't be, because some people still won't do it, and whatever their reason is, and that's, you know, up to them. I can't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. But the more that people that get vaccinated, the quicker we're going to be able to get back to something that looks like what we call normal.
So, yeah.
Just wanted to share that. So that'll be coming up in the month of May. And May is next week. So I don't have all the details yet, but just anybody that knows people who are not getting vaccinated because nobody is reaching out to them, please let me know here at the ICW show or on my Facebook page, which is Francine Humphrey. You can reach me so easily. Just send me a message, and we always give our number at the end of the show, so you can text me and let me know what you have going on. And so that's one of the projects that I'm working on within the next couple of weeks. And, of course, always the finance piece is there. I'm doing some workshops. We have a workshop on May the 18th, and we're going to partner with Truist Bank, which used to be SunTrust, to do a two-hour workshop for the community, and then after that, we're going to be doing one-on-one free coaching for the residents of Norfolk. Because if you've been keeping up with the news, the residents of Norfolk, a lot of them are being moved out of their residence to make way for bigger and better Norfolk. But what do they do in the meantime? So we really want to address some of the community issues that are going on and happening. And so that's my two-cent worth for information tonight. So, Veronica, let's just talk a little bit more about the nonprofit world. Is there anything else that our audience should know that's happening or anything that you're doing in particular with your nonprofit organization?
I think right now the big thing is making sure for nonprofits, just really making sure as you come to the end of your fiscal year that you're making sure that you're getting your tax return filed, especially since there was all of this stuff with PPE, EDIL, and all of this stuff that is going on, making sure that you have your tax return completed. And even if you don't do for the nonprofits that, you know, really didn't take in a lot of money, please, 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 sirs and ma'am, please do that 990 in postcard that IRS has, because they still want you to report income, because if you go three consecutive years without filing, you lose your 501c3 determination. And I've helped a lot of organizations, you know, regain their status back because they weren't even aware that they're just like, oh, we didn't do that much this year. And all of us know that it takes you about 5 years to really get your business off of the ground. And so it doesn't matter whether or not you made $2,000 to $20,000 or $200,000. IRS still wants to know. And so I would say now that we're in a tax season, of course, it is absolute chaos with IRS, Francine, with them having to do returns and then I think the date for your returns was pushed back, and so that created a backlog. And then they're doing processes and 501c3 applications, and they're on this skeleton sort of scheduled simply because of the fact of the pandemic, and so they're not literally working in offices the way that they did. So the big caveat would be just make sure that you're paying attention to your financial. Very, very important. Whether you made a lot or whether you made a little bit, IRS still wants you to tell them what did your organization do for 2020. So that would be my word to the wise for right now, Francine.
Okay, great. Well, let me ask a question about these the small or micro churches like mine.
Mm-hmm.
Our deadline is moved. Is that going to be in May, or do you know for sure? Or
I think they did move it to May. I'm not really sure,
mm-hmm.
because that was a lot of the I guess the confusion with all of this, especially with all of the PPL stuff coming out, PPL coming out, and all of that stuff.
Yes.
There was conversation about that, but again, you know, they on their website. And this is what I tell people all the time. I'm always on IRS's website, especially
mm-hmm.
for, you know, nonprofit stuff. They have their updates and all of that stuff on their website. So I would say check that out as well. But I think there was an extension. I'm not really sure of that, but
okay.
That's something that I can look into as well.
Okay, sounds good. And speaking of the PPP and the PUA and the EBIRG and all the other stuff, all those other acronyms of people receiving funds, and I'm going to just put it out there. We know when they're giving out money and you want to get your fair share, and you should. I'm not saying that you should not. But my concern is every day when I open the newspaper, and I still get a newspaper, or I'm looking online, I'm seeing XYZ has been arrested because they got a $600,000 PPP loan and went out and bought a Maserati. I don't even know if you can get a Maserati with that. I'm really concerned about our business owners. What
yeah.
are you thinking about?
Yeah.
You know that
yeah.
even though they open it up and pull back the restrictions so that
mm-hmm.
independent contractors could get it and small business owners
mm-hmm.
could get it. But if you've never filed a Schedule C and you don't know what one is, that means you should not be applying for a PPP.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just go ahead and say that as a small business owner.
Yeah.
You should not be
yeah.
applying if you don't live in an area that is conducive to the criteria that they ask you. That means it's probably lower income, and you can check that
mm-hmm.
by the zip code. If you didn't lose a portion of your income for a certain number of months, you don't qualify. And if somebody tells you, you can just put down that you've extended your business to something else, you have to have proof of that. So I can't
exactly.
be, you know, I can't be a financial advisor, and now I'm going to be a beautician, okay, for the year of 2020 so that I can get the PPP loan. I don't even know how to order hair rods.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I don't even know how to order or who I'm ordering from, why in the world would I put that on an application and send that in? And you
mm-hmm.
knew that there was a possibility that somebody at some point in time when all the dust settled, because everybody was up in the uproar, in the rickmore, as my grandmother used to say, everybody
mm-hmm.
needed money. So in order for everybody to be serviced, they kind of like bent the rules so that you could get this loan, but they did not expect as many people to falsify information. And every time I look online, there are some handcuffs there. So I'm warning
mm-hmm.
you, if you messed up, call your lawyer. If you with Legal Shield, whoever you with, and I ain't putting Legal Shield out there, but whoever you're with, you need to call somebody and get this stuff straightened out, because it's going to be a big mess. And I just don't want to hear about a lot of our small businesses going out of business because the
mm-hmm.
owner is now being arrested.
Mm-hmm.
That's all
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say. Anything you need to say
yeah.
about that, Veronica?
yeah. As you were talking about that, Adrian Adrian's firm, he was saying to me just the other day that basically his firm is going after a lot of individuals who created these fake businesses to get that money. And I don't know why. See, this is part of that business planning that we've been talking about all year long, Francine, where people have to understand that you got to have a budget for your organization, and you're not going to just break into big dollars your first 3 or 4 years. You're going to have to build from there. We've talked over and over. I mean, how many conversations have we had just talking around the financial piece and the budget piece and all of the things that an organization needs to have in place so that they're okay? And whenever that you are going after monies that you didn't even earn, you know, you didn't have a business to say, I could do this, that's about your character as a business person. Now, who wants to do business with you? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have to look at character in business. So, that Francine, I think we're going to see a lot of organizations go under, and unfortunately people are going to catch charges, some going to go to jail because of this desire to immediately have money and don't have the business to show where that money is being spent. And so, that's crazy. So, that's all I want to say. But when you said that, I was like, Adrian and I just had this conversation just a week or so ago. So for those of you all who are business folk, people that you know, please tell them to really, really, really pay attention and do not go after every carrot that's been dangled in front of their face, because it's just not a good thing.
And it's not. And, I said this last year, I knew what was going to happen. I'm not a fortune teller and I don't have a crystal ball, but it's common sense. If you don't know anything about business, even if you had previously had a business and your business did not qualify, that means you did not qualify. Don't pay somebody $100 to falsify your information just so you can get some money to get you in trouble. Because when the rubber hits the road, it's going to be you. That person's got your $100 and they're gone. You know, they're moving on with their life. And you're going to try to bring them in on it and say, well, they helped you. Well, you paid them.
Yeah.
You know, what common sense, you know. And so I'm just, you know, I'm speaking about it because it's an issue that is going to get worse before it gets better. I'm praying that everybody gets their finances in order, including myself, you know, making sure I file on time and do the things that I need to do, because last year was just so different. And we truly, truly understand that. But the day is going to come when the dust is going to settle and the IRS is going to be on all of us who have not done what we're supposed to do. So I'm just going to put it out there today. So enough about that. So, Veronica, let's give the audience your information and how they can get in touch with you if they will need to know more.
Yes. So to contact me, always, you can contact me by email at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org, or you can go to our website, same URL, www.micrononprofitnetwork.org, and you can always give me a shout-out on the phone, 757-572-0974. I do want to say that for our June conversation as well, we're looking for about five or six more participants that will be there, because we have mental health professionals, police, but we also just want the voices of the lay community in there as well. And so we might be looking at giving some gift cards for those who show up that day as well. So anyhow, just want to throw that out there, Francine.
Oh, sure, absolutely, because this, you know, this is our platform, and we try to share as much as we can with you and try to get it out to the community. And, again, we appreciate your years and years of being supporters of this program, and so we really appreciate it. And so my information to reach out to me, my telephone number is 757-567-6734. You can send me a text. Because people that call me and don't talk to me will not get an answer from me. Send a text with your name and your question or comment, and I would greatly appreciate that, and I will get back to you. You can go to the website at www.issuesconcerningwomen.org, and you can also go to blacktopbusinessservices.com if you want more information about finances. So we got about six more minutes. And so we just want to encourage all of you to, you know, live your best life, do things that make you happy, and do things that are going to help you and your family live a better lifestyle. So, Veronica, that being said, what advice would you give someone who is probably thinking about starting a business or a nonprofit, and they're just not sure if this is a good time?
Mm-hmm. I had a call today. Someone was referred me to this person that called me, and this was basically on grant writing or what have you, and I could tell by the conversation that we were having that this person had not done any research around grants and things of that nature and what the criteria for grants are. So I would say the most important thing is research what you want to do, because it doesn't cost anything. Right now, everything is at our fingertips with, you know, with the web and information and infomercials and all kinds of marketing mm-hmm. and everything that's out here. We just got to do. And then there's the old-fashioned way, calling up somebody and saying, hey, I know you've been doing this a good, you know, for a minute. Can you give me some advice? We gotta research. After that call, and I was on a video conference for something else, I realized I got to, you know, really enhance our marketing for our WISDA program, because you mm-hmm. gotta basically know what you are doing. And so that's my tidbit, Francine. It's just research. Research what you want to do. You can have a business anytime, but you've got to know what it is that you're doing about your business, and you got to always stay in the know. I'm constantly learning new stuff every day about the nonprofit. Like, oh my God, I didn't know that. Oh, I needed to do this. This, that, and the other. And I've been out here a minute, you know what I mean? And so I think that's the most important thing right now, is just research what you want to do. Don't leave your day job until you can solidify your financials for your business. You can work part-time and run your business, or while you're trying to build your business, just basically really research what you want to do.
Absolutely, and that's great advice. And I'm just going to piggyback on that, because, you know, that's my whole world, the small business world, making sure that you make good decisions. Like Veronica said, research, know what the business is that you want to enter, and know how you're going to run it and how the structure of the business is so important. And where's the money going to come from? See, I'm the money girl. I'm always going to talk about that money. Where is that money going to come from to run this business? And if you're working part-time and you may need a loan at some point in time, you can't get a loan if you don't have collateral or a job. So let me just go ahead and put that out there. So if you're thinking that this business that you're going to go into, you may need to have something to back it up, because if you're just getting started, it's you. It's your personal information that's going to go on that application, because you haven't even established a business yet. So a great time to start a business is while you're still working. And just in case you need to take out a little small loan to help you in those first few months. It is so important also that you know your numbers. I was on a Zoom, and we talk about Zoom because we Zoom all the time. I Zoom so much sometimes I'm cross-eyed by the end of the day. I was on a Zoom meeting with a gentleman who all he does is help small businesses get started. And one of the questions he asked one young lady who was starting up her business was, what was her numbers? And she had no clue to what he was talking about. So it's so important that you learn what a business is all about and how to do it. It's one thing if it's a hobby and it's something you've been doing for a while and you make a few dollars and that's fine. But if you're going to be a business, then you have to be about your business and you have to ask those questions. And like Veronica said, the web is wide open. You can Google anything. You can just type in, I want to know how to start a business, and it will tell you. So just heed what we're saying today. Get started. It's always a good time to start a business. There's no bad time to do that. But just know what you're getting into and be prepared to ask questions and learn from others who've already done it. So with that being said, we have about one more minute. So, Veronica, I want to thank you again, my sister friend, for being on the show with me tonight. I think we gave out some great tips. And is anything else you want to ask before we close it up?
No, I think we did a good job. Just my contact information again is 757-572-0974, cell phone number. And then, of course, email is info@micrononprofitnetwork.org. And then the same thing for our website is micrononprofitnetwork.org.
Absolutely. And I'm Francine Humphrey, the number 757-567-6734. The website is www.issuesconcerningwomen.org. So we look forward to speaking with you all next Thursday, if God says so. Have a great week and take care now. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.